There's five great acts in the book of Acts. I'd like to touch on them a little bit tonight and hopefully make an application and challenge all of our hearts. Number one, there's the act of faith. Number two, there's the act of God. Number three, there's the act of obedience. Number four, there's the act of kindness. And number five, there's the act of courage. As you read the book of Acts, you'll see those various acts acted out in the life of men and women, just like you, just like me. The Christian life begins with an act of faith. You see it in the life of a leper, who is not only a leper, but also a Samaritan. He finds himself in the company of other lepers who had grown up in a different religious background, all ostracized, all in the same boat, all lost, all condemned, all suffering. And they have an encounter with the Lord Jesus. And it points out to us in that text, it doesn't matter what group you're in, it matters what's in your heart. The Lord Jesus sends these 10 lepers back to the Old Testament to fulfill the commands of Leviticus and to show themselves as priests. And they step out in an act of faith. And the Bible says that as they went, they were healed. As they went, they were cleansed. And the closer they got to the temple, the cleaner they became, and more obvious to themselves and to others that they were not the same. But only one, a Samaritan, also now obviously not a part of the group, could not accomplish what God asked him to do. They wouldn't let a Samaritan into the temple. The Samaritan had no audience with the priest. As a matter of fact, the others probably had nothing to do with him. He was a Samaritan. He was not one of them. And so he had nowhere else to go. And where do you go when you have nowhere else to go? Where do you go when you have nowhere else to go? You go into Jesus. And that's what he did. He turned around and he went back to the Lord Jesus, and he was the only one who found his fullness in Christ. And the Bible says that he was saved, or he was made whole. And that's what salvation is, being made whole. We want to be whole and complete in Jesus Christ. And we, like that leper, have returned to places like this again and again and again, to say thank you. Where are the nine? The Lord Jesus asked. And we learned last week, the other nine, they were in church. They were doing what the Lord said to do. They had gone to Jerusalem and they were in church. But except our righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, we'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven. And this Samaritan didn't have the opportunity to play church. They wouldn't even let him in. He went back to the Lord Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, let's not play church. Let's return to the Lord Jesus and worship him. And fall at his feet and serve him like that leper. And as that leper of old speaks to our own hearts, we're reminded that it all begins with an act of faith. Every one of us, as we begin our own story, as we begin our own history of our Christian experience, always begin with an act of faith. Those that believe, they go on. Those that don't believe, they stay where they are. One day a prodigal son looked at himself and he didn't like what he saw. And nobody ever came to God until he first came to himself. And perhaps the muddy reflection staring up into himself from the muddy earth reminded him of what he could have been. And his heart was broken in a moment. He arose and said, I will arise and go to my father. And I'm so glad that he did. And churches around the world are filled with once prodigals who came to their senses. And they fell down in humility before the Father. And so the story goes on and on and on. You and I are a part of a great work and a great act of God. The second thing that we see in the book is that it's not just us, it's God in us. There are some theological circles that want to fight about which comes first, the act of faith or the act of God. Well, the Bible says that as they went, they were cleansed. And so I would just challenge you, don't hold off on believing. Believe even though you don't see. Step out and do what he says to do. Here we see not only an act of faith, we see an act of God. And after the cross and after the crucifixion, the believers, although shaken to their very core, gather together in an upper room in Jerusalem, and they wait for the promise. They wait for God. Nothing's going to happen until he arrives in his fullness, in his fire, in his filling. And so they wait. And as they wait, they pray. You and I need to remember that some of us have a wait problem. And God says, wait, and we're in a hurry. Oh, the early church realized that they couldn't go anywhere without God. They had to wait for him. And as they gathered in the upper room, and we see their story, the story of the early believers, we see the importance and significance of waiting before him in faith and in prayer. Ah, they were not disappointed. For suddenly the sound of a mighty rushing wind filled the air, and fire, as tongues of fire, fell from the sky. And the Bible says it lighted on each of them. Take a look at it with me there in Acts. Chapter 2. And verse 3 says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. I love that. It didn't say it sat upon the church, or it didn't sit on all of them. It sat on each of them. We don't go to heaven in groups. If you don't feel the filling and the fullness and the fire, you are not what God intended you to be. It fell on each of them. And so as we come to a place like this, it's not enough that we all enjoy the blessing of our company. That's wonderful. But I want God's fire and force and fullness to fill me. Lord, fall on me. And so as we come to a place like this and God's word is open, we want God to fill us individually, personally. And the Bible says each one of them felt this fullness of God. I believe that this is the default position of the church. This is a church at the high place, just like we saw last time, Saul at the high place in his life. He never was higher than when he's in that high place where he was anointed by Samuel the prophet. And you and I, if we go through this life long enough, we'll have our highs and we'll have our lows. Here in this upper room was the high watermark of the Church of Jesus Christ. They never were higher. I remember when I was just 5 years old, just barely 5 years old, not quite. See, my birthday is on August 30th. And so it was sometime early in the summer, so I had not been 5 yet. It was a couple of months. I was 4 years old and 10 months. And my mother had to go somewhere. I wasn't quite sure where she went. I might have told you the story before. She left me in the care of a teenage girl in the neighborhood. Neptune Avenue in Brooklyn. Don't ever leave your 4-year-old in the hands of a girl named Bubbles. Well, she left me alone with Bubbles, and after a while, she and her friends must have decided that let's go down to the boardwalk and let's ride on the cyclone. That was before they had those little signs that say you have to be this tall, you know. And so we went, and as a 4-year-old, I remember riding on the cyclone. And I sat down on that seat, and they had a safety bar back in those days. That was it. It was just a safety bar that's click, 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 click. Now Bubbles was a big girl. And because Bubbles was a big girl, as she went click, 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 it, for her it only went click, click. And that bar was out there. And here I am sitting on the roller coaster, and it was fine as we were going up and making the ascension. Only if the cyclone could do. Still the world's most famous roller coaster. And we got to the top. And we leveled off. And then we saw the valley beneath. And suddenly that roller coaster took off, and I was standing up straight at attention, hanging on to this bar for dear life, and it was the only thing holding me in. No leather straps or anything. That bar was supposed to click, 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 click in 1950 and hold you in. That's why I'm a little crazy today. But that should have given me a hint. That should have given me an idea that life was going to have a lot of ups and downs to prepare me for that. And while there are times in our life where some of us are down physically, down financially, down socially, I never want to be down spiritually. Church gathered in the upper room. They were at a high place, at a high watermark, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an act of God. Only God can do that. The Christian life is not just things that we do. The Christian life is things that God does in us. And the early church waited in that upper room, and they waited for the promise, the act of God. Have you known any folks that in their later years they want to go up to Vermont and look at the leaves change color in the autumn? And so they sign up at one of these tour groups, and they look forward to the day when they'll meet in the parking lot behind Piggly Wiggly and get on the bus and drive up to Vermont and see the nature and beauty of God. Well, can you imagine a group that it waits with such great anticipation for this day, and they all gather from different corners of Burlington, North Carolina? And on the appointed day and the appointed hour, they show up at the parking lot, and there they find, to their amazement and wonder, the most beautiful, shining Greyhound bus they've ever laid eyes on. And they're looking forward to having a wonderful time. They're meeting people they never met before, for all are drawn by the same desire to go on this wonderful trip. And they're shaking one another's hands and exchanging stories and showing pictures of grandchildren, but there's only one problem: the driver didn't show up. He's not there. The door's open and the bus is sitting there, and after a while, looking at all their baggage and luggage, they become impatient. And somebody says, "You know what? I know how to drive one of these things." And some dear fellow steps up and he sits in the driver's seat and he turns the key, and suddenly the machine comes alive and roars, and a billow of smoke blows into the parking lot. And as it rumbles, people start to get on board, bringing their baggage, and they're about to go on a trip. Who needs a driver? Well, I'm afraid that there are churches all over the world that are pulling out of parking lots, driving down highways, and the Lord Jesus Christ is standing there and saying, "Wait for me. Wait for me." He told his disciples after the crucifixion and resurrection, he said, "We're going places, but wait for me." As we saw last week, they didn't wait for him. As they stood around and waited, they prayed a little, and finally they read some out of the scriptures and enjoyed the Old Testament so much, they said, "Hey, let's hold an election. We'll have a business meeting. We need to fill a vacant seat for Judas." And the Bible says they flipped a coin or threw dice to see which one of these two would become the next apostle. Can I suggest that it's always a good idea to wait on God? And that young lady looks into the eyes of this young man and that young man and feels that she just must make a decision, and she's not sure. I suggest that you don't just flip a coin. I don't suggest that you throw dice. I suggest that you wait on God. And if He doesn't fill your heart with a fire that's the capacity to love and to trust Him, don't go to the marriage altar. For if you do, you find yourself making the greatest mistake of your life. Wait on God. What I want more than anything else in my life is not only to see the acts of faith, but the acts of God. It's better to wait than to wait on God. And when God shows up, it was exciting in the upper room. There was no mistake. He was there. And suddenly, the air is filled with the fullness of God, and it falls on each of them. Interesting thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is portrayed symbolically as the wind, as the fire, and as the water. all of which were known to the ancient world as the great powers of the Almighty. Wind, fire, flood. Wow. You and I want to see the wind of God fill our sails before we leave the dock. As I open the pages of this book, they are like the canvas of a British man of war. And unless you and I are filled with the power of God, we're not going anywhere. I want to go somewhere with God. And where I am, it's where God wants me to be. I don't know if you know where wind comes from. Anybody know where wind comes from? Well, most of you know that from your junior high days. Wind is created, beginning at the equator. And for a very interesting reason, for the laws of science. Actually, the birth of wind is much, much further away than the equator. Wind is born 93 million miles away on the surface of the sun. And as that nuclear fusion takes place on that orb, energy is released, and solar rays fly out into space in every direction. And 2% of the sun's power, 2% of the sun's power, just 2% of the sun's power strikes the earth. What a powerful thing is this sun that God created. And when those rays of the sun hit our planet, the atmosphere is released at the equator. And as that heat and that energy strikes the ocean, heat rises up into the sky, and as it rises up into the sky, it spreads out, and as it spreads out, it cools, and as it cools, it falls, and so you have this thing called wind. Given also the fact that the earth is rotating and moving at the same time. And there were people who grew up in the days when wind filled the sails of the mercantile ships, and they had to study the wind. And I believe that the church understood the force and the power of God as a mighty wind that filled them like the tap gallons of a British man of war. The problem is some of us have had the wind taken out of our sails and we're trying to have church without God. We're trying to have church without Him, His power. The Holy Spirit, a wind, a fire, and a flood. Jesus said in John chapter 7 of the Holy Spirit that He will well up within us as a spring of living water. The word there is flood. A flood. A tsunami, if you will. Springing up in a mighty flood. Wow. When we are where we're supposed to be, the Holy Spirit coming down and the Holy Spirit coming up, and we are filled with the fullness of God, that's where we're supposed to be. The world calls that a spirit of revival. That's where I want to live. And that, brothers and sisters, can only be done by God. It's an act of God. And as I read the book of Acts, and as you read the book of Acts and the story of the New Testament church, not only will you see acts of faith, but you will see acts of God. Peter and John go up into the temple to pray, and they find a lame man lying there at the gate called Beautiful, and he asks for money, and he says, "Silver and gold, I have none of that, but such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." An act of God. I don't know about you, but I want to see some of that before I die. I want to see the mighty acts of God. It's not just a book of facts. It's the book of Acts. And you and I are in the middle of writing its final chapter. For I believe that one day when you go to heaven, God will pull down the story of your life, and God will pull down the story of my life, and on the front of it will say, Acts. Not facts. God's not impressed with how much you know. He knows everything. He's not impressed with the size of your mental capacity. And we had this idea, we just want to know more and more and more and more and more just for the sake of knowing more. No. The story of the church is the book of Acts. Let's go back again to the first chapter. The former treatise, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. See, our problem is not in teaching. We've got good teaching, but we don't have good doing. We have a problem in the doing department. These are all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach. And it was the doing that captured the world's attention. For everywhere the Lord Jesus went, the Bible says he went about doing good. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. It was the acts of God that caught the attention of the world. From the incarnation and the baby in the cradle, to the Lord Jesus gathering up children in his arms and opening the eyes of the blind and calling Lazarus out of the grave. It was the acts of God that caused people to take a second look at Jesus. And it's the acts of us that cause people to dismiss what you and I say. And so we want our acts to match the facts. We want to be in the perfect harmony with heaven. And God can do that. We can't do that. It requires the acts of God. Lord, work in my heart. Work in my life. Fill me with yourself and with your fire. And so as you read the book of Acts, which is the story of the New Testament church, you see the acts of faith and you see the acts of God. The third thing we see are acts of obedience. In Acts chapter 4, oh, by the way, if you look at Acts chapter 4 and verse, we'll come back to that in a moment. Acts chapter 4 and verse 19, and Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. We cannot help but speak the things that we have seen and heard. And then chapter 5 and verse 29, and Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And also in the book of Acts, we see the acts of faith, we see the acts of God, but we also see the acts of obedience. Every time we obey God, we draw closer to fulfilling his perfect will in our life. There's not a person here tonight that wasn't made by God. Do you agree? There's not a person here tonight who wasn't made by God. And there also is not a person here tonight who wasn't made by God on purpose. And our job is to find out what that purpose is. And the only way I can find out what that purpose is by being obedient to him. Because when I'm obedient, he sends me on to the next clue. And that's where I'll get the next clue. And then I'll get the next clue. And then I'll get the next clue. And all I have to do is be obedient enough to go and get the next clue. The moment I stop, it's all over. I never fully discover what I was ever meant to be. The Christian life is a life filled with the acts of faith. Peter, come. Peter steps out of the boat. He walks on water. And people are still talking about it to this day. It was an act of faith. Yes, but it was also an act of God. And number three, it was an act of obedience. The Christian life and the life of the early church, acts of faith, acts of God, acts of obedience. When God asks you to do something, can I suggest to you, never say no to God. Just do it. Just do it. And you'll find that God has something for you in that obedience. I must obey God. The acts of God, the acts of faith, the acts of God, the acts of obedience. The third thing we find in the Christian life, in the Christian experience, and in the book of Acts, the acts of kindness. Wow. Acts of kindness, yes. There's another way to say it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We like to talk about the love of God. I like to bring it down where you and I can understand it. And when God opens it up so we can look at the many facets and many colors, first thing he says is love is kind. That's the first thing. And when I'm not kind, I'm not living in the love of God. And that's the sign, and that's the symbol, and that's the evidence of God working in my life. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. You go to a fancy dinner and somebody pulls out their fancy china. And maybe when they go into the kitchen to get something, you turn over the plate, you want to see who made this stuff. Are you eating off of Lennox? Or are you just eating off of something made in China? I've seen people do that. Not that I've ever done it. But I've seen people do that. They want to see the hallmark. Well, if you want to know if something is real and genuine, I suggest that you look right there. If it says Lamage, you know that, wow, this is some fancy stuff. And you're eating with the ritzy people. Listen, if you want to know if a church is the real deal, Jesus said you'll know by their love, one for another. That's it. What does that look like? Love is kind. That's the very first thing. Love is kind. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus, when he came into this world, he went about doing good. What am I supposed to do? What kind of act is the Christian life? What am I supposed to do? The Bible says that the Dorcas one day died. And everybody missed her and crying because of all the wonderful good deeds that she did. She made these coats for so many people who would not have a coat otherwise. And she influenced their lives by what she did, by acts of kindness. Peter and John went into the temple to pray. They met a man that was lame. They healed him, of course, by the power of God. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 4, when Peter was interrogated by the religious authority and wanted to know by what power and what right he did this thing. Notice what he says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. And Peter filled, notice that, Peter filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we be examined of the miracle. No, he didn't call it a miracle. He called it a good deed. Oh, you're talking about that good deed that I did? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're not saved by our good works, but we're saved for our good works because they bring glory to God. And what should we be doing now, from now until next Lord's Day? We should be doing good. Every given opportunity, every chance we get, we need to do some good to help somebody along the way. And I believe that every one of us passed by a beautiful gate of opportunity, just like Peter and John. And sometimes we step over some life or somebody that God's put in our path, and we miss an opportunity to do good. As I said, you and I are writing a book, and it's a book called Acts. It's not about how great we are. It's about the love of Jesus in us that causes us to reach out to people that we normally would not reach out to. Why? Because God reached out to us. Because God is good. If you ask God to continue to work in you, to make you that new creature in Christ, to do those acts of kindness. And the book of Acts, like the story of everyone who truly knows God, is a story of acts of kindness. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, said David. Well, we're not trying to impress God. We're trying to demonstrate God's love. He's given us so much, we have some extra. We want to give it away because God is so good to us. The book of Acts is a story of many acts. Acts of faith, acts of God, acts of obedience, acts of kindness. And lastly, the Christian life is made up of acts of courage. Sooner or later, you and I are going to give an opportunity to demonstrate our relationship to God with an act of courage. And this early church, on many occasions, was given an opportunity just for just that. Turn with me towards the back of the story. In the next two Sunday nights, we're going to talk specifically about some things that we can do in our acts and actions that we can be instruments for God. But looking again at the acts of courage. Acts chapter 27. Is the story of the impetuous storm The Apostle Paul is on a ship, and one by one, people have their hearts filled with fear. Verse 14, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroslidon. They were in a safe haven before. They were in a safe place before. Verse 12 says, and because the haven was not commodious in winter, and the more part advised us to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain Phoenice, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and which lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosened thence, they sailed close to Crete. Well, the Bible says the wind bloweth where it listeth. They thought it was going to blow softly, but as you know, the story didn't turn out that way. Suddenly they find themselves in the full fury of a sea gale. Maybe there's someone here who knows something of that. When you left port, the weather was beautiful and fine, and you were singing, oh, how I love Jesus. But suddenly the weather turns, and now the whole world is going to see what you're made of. There was a time in the ancient rites of passage that a person was not considered a full-fledged sailor in the days of the clipper and of the frigate and of the bark until he had sailed around the horn. After he sailed around the horn, he ran an oar through his ear and stuck an earring in there, and now he was a sailor. Until then, he was just a yachtsman. But once a man survived the fury of the two oceans meeting in the south of South America at the Horn, once he survived the feeling of the ice on the canvas, trying to furl it and unfurl it in the fury of nature, then he was a sailor. After he made the turn to north, and finally set into calmer seas, he could say, now I am a sailor. Sooner or later, all of us are going to come to such a place in our spiritual life where we're going to see what we're made of. And it's going to be a call of God for the act of courage. The Apostle Paul finds himself there, and they start to throw things overboard. We'll talk more about that later on in the month. But here I want you to see in verse 25, he says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. The Apostle Paul demonstrated with his life that God had done a work, and God was working, and God was acting. And while everyone else was afraid and terrified, he realized there was something greater than the storm. It was the goodness, the will, and the power of God. And you and I have nothing to fear, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if you're here tonight and suddenly you've heard that word cancer, I say, be of good cheer. Believe God. The worst thing that could happen to you is that you'll pull into a port called heaven, and God will meet you there. And there you will see the place that you've looked for all your life, a place called home. The early church, that New Testament church, the one that stood in the face of fury and persecution, was the real deal, the genuine article, the real McCoy. The New Testament church is a church in which God acts. And God acts. Acts of faith, acts of God, acts of obedience, acts of kindness, and acts of courage. The Christian life is demonstrated by how I act and how I react. And how I react says a whole lot more than how I act. You see, sometimes I don't always act like I'm supposed to act. But what happens when somebody points out to me that I didn't act like I'm supposed to act? Now I have an opportunity to demonstrate my faith in how I react. And if I react with contrition, or if I react with humility, and if I react with humbleness, if I act with repentance, if I act with teachability, then I've acted just the way God wanted me to act. And I'm back in harmony, and I'm back in step. And so as we go through this world this week, let's be cognizant of the fact that God is watching how we act and how we react. He's watching our acts and our actions. And your life and my life is made up of not just what we know, but what we do with what we know, what we do with Jesus. I want to be a part of what God is doing. And as long as I breathe breath in this world, I'm standing with you upon a stage. And I ask that you and I both always remember that it's not over until God brings the curtain down and He rolls the credits. And when He finally rolls the credits over the story of your life and my life, I want Jesus Christ to have been the star, and I just play a supporting role. May it be so with you, and may it be so with me. God's not finished with us yet, but let's be available to Him to work, to move, to have His way with us, that our will would be lost in His will, and our will would be a living will for all the world to see. May it be so. Father, we thank You for Your word. You've left us this book called Acts, a story of men and women just like us. Lord, there's nothing great about us, but there's something great about You. And we remember that You've begun something and You've promised to bring it to completion. I pray that as we go forth in this place, as the saints poured out of the upper room, that we too would know the fullness and the fire and the filling of the Holy Spirit, that we would by faith declare Jesus Christ alive and well. And may we speak to someone this week of Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.